Like to hear a word from the Lord this morning. Yeah. How many of you want to hear it? How many of you would fight to hear it? How many of you would cry to hear a word from the Lord? I'm going to try to do my best to get out of the way. But I think if you will open up your heart this morning, I think God is going to challenge you, because I know he's already really been working me over. You ready to be inconvenienced again? We got this week and next week, then you guys can go back to your convenient life, okay? We're almost there. If you'd like to turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 26, the title is simply Praying with Purpose. And so the challenge today is to talk about the inconvenience of prayer. The inconvenience of prayer. And I think I've been just... the last few weeks, last month, really, the Lord has been really working my heart. Lamentations, you guys have been there on Wednesday nights. Man, it has been amazing for me. Thank you for being part of that. But God is very much speaking about waiting and watching and praying. And I hope to encourage you in that. Let's start again, Matthew 26. We're going to look at first verse 40 and 41. Then we'll come back through 36 to 46. Matthew 26, verse 40. The Bible says, "And he cometh unto the disciples, and he findeth them," what? "Asleep." And it says unto Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." All right. I think most of us in this building know, people that are here today, I love that you raised your hands. You want to hear from the Lord. The spirit in you is willing to hear the voice of the Lord. But all that flesh gets in the way, doesn't it, right? It's muggy. I mean, these air conditioners are working so hard this morning. They're trying, but it's still humid in here, right? Get the fans out. You've had your late nights and your early mornings. Hopefully you've had something to eat and your belly's comfortable. But that flesh can get to a place where it's like, I need to fade. And I want to challenge you today to work in your spirit this morning, to work to hear from the Lord. Now, I want to start off with an illustration. I want you to know, I'm not necessarily condoning this illustration as a whole, but I want to prick your mind with it, okay? I want you to think about it. And it's about the idea of multitasking and prayer, and it may help you process as we make our way through the message this morning. This is from David Mills. An article on the website First Things advocates one simple way to improve your prayer life, and that is to stop multitasking. We have any multitaskers in the building? Right? You're doing this thing, but you've got this thing going, you're doing this over here, and then you're doing that, and then you got this going, right? You try to think a little 7 steps ahead, right? I'm going to get the dishes started over here. I'm going to get the food cooking over there. I'm going to vacuum before they come in the door, and then, right? And some of you people, if you work in technology, you've got to try to multitask all the time because there's so much stuff coming at you. Think about this for a minute. I thought this was just something to kind of provoke our mind. Multitasking is not your friend. The whole idea of multitasking as something good is based on the assumption that life is about getting things done. I admit that the world often operates as though this were the case, but it is false. Human life and Christian life is more about love than accomplishments. If we cultivate distractedness, as for example by multitasking, then we'll bring distractedness to our prayer. If on the other hand we cultivate attention, this will bear fruit at the time of prayer. I would suggest, therefore, that we renounce multitasking and strive to do one thing at a time, so far as that is possible. Now, just process that for a little bit. I'm not telling you you should never multitask like this person is, but I also want us to think about being focused on the important thing at the right time. All right? Inconvenience with our prayer time. Over the last few Wednesday nights, we've been in the book of Lamentations, and I have never seen some things as clear as I've seen since we've been through that book. We have seen the suffering caused by sin, right? And it is horrible. I think horrific is a good word to see what sin can do. Brother Rick, he just blessed my heart. He had no clue on Wednesday night, but he was seeing the picture that I was seeing, and that if you'll look in the book of Lamentations, I think you'll get a feel for the suffering of Jesus. like you've never done before. Read the book of Lamentations with an eye to this is what Jesus is experiencing. When you think about the suffering caused by sin, Jesus bore that for us in his own body on the tree, that wonderful cross that we sang about today, right? Spend a little time in there. Also, I think sometimes we don't like to sing the sad songs, but we're being reminded that sometimes it's appropriate to do that. Well, last Wednesday, we were focused on this word, and we had great discussion about the idea of waiting. And I would say today that waiting, I believe, is a key component to prayer. So let's go there just for a moment. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22. Again, those of you who haven't been there on Wednesday nights, Lamentations works like a traditional Hebrew poem, and you start with stuff on the outsides at the very beginning of the book and the very end of the book, but what you really want to focus on is what is right in the middle. And when you get right in the middle of Lamentations, this is what you see. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, and therefore I will what? I will wait for him. Which Esther, they're on their vacation. You'd be praying for them too. They're traveling Europe and stuff like that. But Esther was just such sharing with us even on Wednesdays about, again, we saw it again in our Sunday school lesson today about the manna, right? They had enough for the day. The Lord gives enough mercies for the day. But I want you to catch that last phrase there, and it says, therefore, I will wait for him. Where do you like to wait for the Lord? Elise, she was giving us this great picture. I think Ray and Diane have a similar one too. Some of you also as well. But Elise, she likes to get up in the morning and go out on her porch, and she has her cup of coffee, and she can just enjoy nature, and that's where she really likes to wait for the Lord. I'm like, that sounds really good. I like that. And then we got to looking in Lamentations, and there, when it talked about waiting for the Lord, it talked about burying your face in the sand and letting your enemy smite you in the cheek more than one time. Sound familiar? Right? And all of a sudden, it was a reminder that, yes, sometimes waiting is the beautiful place in the quiet. But sometimes waiting is suffering. How many of you can deal with distractedness? I'm about to hit you up here. Get ready. Waiting when it's suffering can be so hard. And so Wednesday night, we started talking about the idea of quiet. And we live in a culture and an age of distractedness. And I ask a few people, and I'm not going to call them out here, but I ask them, when was the last time you were awake, but you sat in complete quiet? And I was reminded how little quiet time we really have. Let me ask you that just for a second. Think about that. Can you pull up, when's the last time you were awake, but there was no TV, there was no hustle and bustle, there was no checking your phone, there was no notifications, there was nothing but you and the Lord sitting in quiet? And if you have to know, like, I mean, I get it genetically from my mother. She cannot sit in quiet, right? She's got to have noise and hustle and bustle. She passed it down to me, I passed it down to my kids a little bit too. When have you sat in quiet? Oh, this is a good illustration. Any housewife knows, or Vance Havner, that the best way to remember the things she meant to do and forget is to start praying. They will come to her and divert her from prayer right away. Right? If you get focused on quiet and trying to pursue the Lord and seek the Lord, all you got to do is start praying. And what's the devil going to do? That phone will start buzzing, right? The doorbell will start opening. The dog will go crazy. And you'll be like, oh, I got to take care of it, X, Y, Z, right? So here's what we're going to do this morning. And some of you, most of you are going to not even think it's a deal at all. There's a few of you in this morning, this is going to be the most uncomfortable you're going to be all week long. We're going to sit in the best that we can do, silence, for 1 minute. Everybody with me? All right, so first things first, if you got your phone with you and you got your ringer on, shut it off. Set it aside, put it in wherever, your purse or underneath your Bible, whatever. Just get it out of the way, okay? For these 60 seconds, we're not going to have any distraction, like there's no timer on the screen for you to watch. I'm the one counting, so it may be 10 minutes, not one, right? What I want you to do in these 60 seconds is I want you to try to sit in silence with the Lord. If you want to just pray and close your eyes for 60 seconds, you can do that. I do want you to try to stay awake. For some of us, that's going to be a hard thing, right? Okay? But for 60 seconds, the best you can, all of us in this room, the best we can. Again, if something happens, it happens. But let's see what it is to sit in silence for 60 seconds. And then we'll debrief here in just a minute, okay? Are you ready? 3, 2, 1. Okay, that's probably close. What did you notice? Anything? If you were focused in prayer, you probably noticed that, right? You were thinking about people that you cared about or situations. Did you hear things that you never really hear? I did. Like I heard a creaking of the ceiling. I could actually hear the air conditioner, right? Did anybody, silence just kind of, in a nice way here, kind of freak you out? Like, I don't like it quiet. I got to have something going, right? Here's what I want to challenge all of us this week, is to look for moments and times where we can get away from all the distractions and really sit before the Lord. There is so much power in waiting for the Lord. All right, just bear with me a little this morning, then we're going to get to our text in just a little bit. For me, silence just about kills me, and it's definitely an area I am working on and will continue to work on. But if we're not careful, this demand for distraction and the lack of silence can get into the way of our prayer and our communion with God through Jesus. Again, hear me out. We've talked about this the last couple weeks. Prayer is not necessarily about the length of time or the beauty of the words, but it is about relationships. How do you think Wendy and my relationship would be if I said, oh yeah, we talk about 5 to 10 minutes a week? She might like that, I don't know. How's that gonna go? How's it gonna go with you and the Lord if you're spending about 5 to 10 minutes a week talking with Him? You can have a relationship, but that relationship's not going to be tight and strong, is it, right? And I'm not taking surveys today. You don't have to raise your hand, but I want you to mentally think today. We're going to get there a little bit more, some specific questions. How much time, your time, are you giving to the Lord throughout the week? And I don't mean Martha time. Do you know what I mean by Martha time? I've got a lot of Martha time. Well, Lord, I got up at, 6:30 today. Martha time. I did my prayer walk. Martha time. I got my coffee run so I could be ready to go. Martha time. I made it to worship practice. Martha time. I made it to Sunday school. I was a little late, but I didn't make it to Sunday school. Martha time, right? Check, 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 check. I'm giving God all this time. I'm not talking about Martha time. I'm talking about Mary time. What's Mary time? That's when she's down there at the feet of Jesus, and she's soaking up everything he has to say, and she wants to praise him and love him and know him. And her heart, it's all about him. It's not about what she did for him. It's about being with him. How much Mary time have you given the Lord? How much Mary time have you given the Lord this morning before you came here? Right? Am I the only one being convicted? I'm getting worn out. You guys seem like you're just fine. Right? Think about these things. Let the Lord speak to your heart about these things. I would tell you that I think it's common for many Christians to pray for only 5 to 10 minutes a week in their walk with God. We need to work on waiting on the Lord again. We need to learn to become comfortable with silence again. We need to evaluate our use of time and especially our time with God. Now, I was thinking about this through the week, and I was like, man, we actually have a lot of opportunities for prayer with our church family, don't we? I don't know that all churches are quite this much, but some are, but not all, and I wanted you to think about this. So just bear with me for a second. Again, a typical day for me and for some of you, but we come and we practice as a worship team. We try to, we're not performers, but we at least like to try to get things together so we can not have confusion. But one of my favorite times at church is when the worship team prays after practice. It's such a sweet time of fellowship and sharing what's on people's hearts. I love that. We pray before Sunday school, right? If it's Ray or Todd or Rick or an adult Sunday school, I'm sure Wendy does her class too. Before class starts, what we do? We pray. At the beginning of service, after we have free will, free grace, and free salvation, what do? We pray, right? Brother Rick's so good to be faithful in that. After we pray for that, we have an offering. What do for the offering? We pray, right? After the offering, and we have offertory, what have we been doing? We've been praying. We have opportunity for people to share. And I know some people are like, oh, man, I can't believe we're spending 20 minutes just listening to prayer requests. This is crazy. Pray. There's an opportunity right there for you to give your heart to the Lord and to really encourage others in prayer. Well, then after the preacher preaches a message, what does he do? He prays. Even poor Brother Todd, after he has to give all the announcements, when everything's said and done, what's he do? He prays. Do you realize how many opportunities are built in for you to spend time with the Lord even in this day if we'll take advantage of them? They can just be patterns and habits and things that get you from step A to step B, or they can be very intentional times where you seek the Lord and where you get a little more time with him. I would remind everyone, these times should be treated with great respect. I want to be careful here, but I want you guys to hear me out today, okay? If we have unbelievers coming to our church and they don't know the Lord, or we have people that maybe are brand new to the faith and they don't know the scriptures as much yet, I want to be careful, but I also want us to teach people respect. One of the things that was taught to me that I have always loved was that in a funeral procession, or when you come into church to pray, or even when men are gathered around a campfire and it's time to pray, what the men in my life always did is they took off their hats. You can go to 1 Corinthians 11. You can decide if that's something for just that time or for all time. But the Bible does speak of that even in that passage. And I would encourage us to carry on that tradition just very simply because it's a way to respect, right? And what'll be neat, I think you'll see, as young people come into that tradition and they start to take their hat off, they recognize, wait a minute, this is a special time. And there's some for some reason we're doing this, and I need to figure out what's special about it. So I would challenge us even in that area. That's a little, that doesn't cost you anything extra today, right? Or you can just include that with your regular tithe. But not only with that, I think we should be so much more intentional to do our best not to distract others during this time, right? Hey, if you got an emergency, you got an emergency. You got to deal with it. We're not saying that. But as a whole, even if I'm having a day or I'm struggling, I still need to also be mindful that this time is an opportunity for other people to be communing with God. Whether it's right before the Sunday school lesson or right after announcements or whatever, we've got to do our best, right, to allow people to have that time. So I just wanted to speak that to us today and to me today to have that reminder. Let's make sure we're making the most of the opportunities for speaking and listening to the Lord. All right, a few things for you to think about with me today. How much time do you spend in prayer each day? Let me give you a harder question. I think this one is much harder. How much time do you think the Lord wants you to spend in prayer each day? It probably varies by day, doesn't it, right? I know some of us, I know some of you give the answer, oh, preacher, I'm in the spirit of prayer all day long, right? If I'm driving the car, if I'm at work, if I'm at home, I'm almost ready. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to pray. Well, that's not exactly what I'm talking about. That's good that you should be that way, and the scripture says we should live that way, right? But what I'm challenging you today is, are you giving back to the Lord the quiet time that he is asking you to give to him? Right? And it will vary. I'm not saying it won't vary, but I'm asking you today to be honest about that. If we are really going to find the time with the Lord that we need, we may need to reevaluate our priorities. And we once again need to be willing to be inconvenienced when it comes to waiting and praying. So with this in mind, let's finally jump into the scripture that really speaks to this truth. You guys know this phrase. You've heard it 1,000 times. The spirit is what? Is willing, but the flesh is weak. And this comes from the prayer life of Jesus. Look together with me back in Matthew 26. Go back to verse 36, and let's start there. Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, began to be sorrowful and troubled, and he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." I would tell you what I think is going on right here. I believe that Jesus is facing the worst day of his life right here. And we can debate that a little bit. Some will say that the cross was the worst day, but I think the anticipation of the cross was the worst day. You guys with me? Like, you go through some bad things, but usually what really gets you is the anticipation of the bad things. And Jesus here, it says he's at a place of sorrow to the point of what? Of death. He is hurting inside. He knows what's coming. He's read the book of Lamentations. He knows how it's going to feel. And he doesn't want to go through it. I think sometimes we're always like, oh, the Lord, he did everything and he had no problems. You can see here, Jesus like, I don't want to do this. This is hard. This is way harder than I want. I need to figure this out and I need you to help me. How can you help me? Stay here and what? Keep watch with me. Now, what kind of week had it been? It was an easy week, right? Everybody getting to bed early, plenty of food, no work. No. We've been turning tables. We've been out of the temple. We've been feeding thousands of people. We've been going back and forth. We've been trying to get up early to pray. We are exhausted, like some of you are today. They're just flat out tired. Jesus, he's having his very worst day. And his disciples are so tired, I don't think they recognize how bad it is. Again, if you want a glimpse of what you think Jesus is going through, we've talked about that. But Peter and James and John, they go with the troubled Christ to Gethsemane. And it's the olive tree garden there. It's where they're at. But I was doing a little study, and the words in the Greek here of this expression are the greatest sorrow imaginable. And so Jesus is asking for assistance of the disciples. It's been a long week. The disciples are running empty, but Jesus still asked them. And here's the problem. They're so out of it that they don't have the capacity to be what they need to be. Now, there's two ways you can get capacity. One, you can prepare if the Lord allows. And the other is you have to depend on the Holy Spirit, which you should always depend on the Holy Spirit. But there are some ways we can come into this place to build capacity. Amen? How late were you up last night? What did you have for breakfast this morning? How's your exercise been going this week? Preacher, you need to be quiet. You're just stepping in the wrong places. Right? You know what I'm saying? How many of you this morning beg God to be present in this place? Man, if I ever get to have Stacy Ross here with us, you don't have a clue how much he is praying for you and how much he is preparing for us for the Lord to come be present because of his prayers for this place. Some of you did pray, and I praise the Lord for that you prayed before you came and you asked God to meet with us But a lot of us, we showed up because it was the next thing on the schedule. Amen? There are going to be moments in your life when there's someone's having their most unimaginable, horrible, worst day, and they're going to need you to step into that day with them, with prayer, with watching, with compassion. And if you're so exhausted and worn out because you've been doing so many distracted things, you may miss the greatest opportunity to be an encouragement to them, right? Hear the Lord today, not me. We've got to do a better job of preparing ourselves for those opportunities. Look in verse 39. Going a little farther, he, that being Jesus, fell with his face to the ground. Then he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and he found them sleeping. The NIV says, "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so you'll not fall into temptation. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." So we have Peter and James and John. There's the sons of Zebedee. They come so far with Jesus. Jesus is going to go a little farther. He's going to be by himself with the Lord. He's making his peace, if you will, with the mission, with the suffering, with the decision. And I would say that in this moment, Jesus is really waiting on the Lord. Now, when he gets back to the disciples, what do we see? Some of you this morning, right? You want me to jump off the stage? I'm afraid I hurt myself or I would wake you up. They are tired, right? It's been a long week. They have every reason to be tired. They've been working hard. They've been following the Lord. They've been trying to do what he wants, but they're done. And Jesus comes back, and he chides them. Did you catch that? He didn't go, "Oh, I know it's been a hard week. Oh, I know. You really need to watch those 18 videos in Instagram, because that's, you know." He didn't, like, comfort and compassion to them. What did he say to them? He says, "Peter, 1 hour. Couldn't you just stay awake 1 hour? This is it. This is the worst day. This is the biggest decision. I need the most help. Could you give me 1 hour? And they're not able to give because of that. Now, hear me out just a little bit here. And you check this with the preacher, see if you think this is right. I would say Jesus won the victory for the cross by praying through in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was able to make his way through the cross because of the time on his knees before his Father, because he was sweating, as it were, drops of blood. He was crying out, and he had to get to the place where he could say, "Not my will, yours be done." And that took place in prayer. He found the victory to fight the battle on his knees in prayer. Who was sleeping? Peter. Who a few days later is saying, "I don't know that Jesus guy. I don't know anything about him. I've never been around him. I deny him. He's not my people." He fell into temptation because he couldn't make his way through prayer. Are you tracking with that? Now you weigh it out and you see it. Maybe there's exceptions, but I thought that was so powerful to me. Jesus is able to get where he is, to make it through the hard thing, to obey the Lord, because he wrestled in prayer. And Peter couldn't make it because he wasn't wrestling in prayer, because he was done. He was tired. So think with me just for a second here. What battles maybe are we losing because we won't make or take the time to pray? What battles are we losing because we won't rest and take care of ourselves as we should? And just to flip it, where could we be winning if we would watch and wait in prayer? Lord, help us, right? You guys, I'm telling you. You get to provoke the preacher and he needs to provoke you. I'm hoping later this fall, I'd like for us to try our first time. I would like to do a 24-hour prayer chain in our church, where whoever will pray at least a half an hour, or maybe up to an hour, and we will try to go for 24 hours to watch and to pray and ask God to do something, right? But we need to be watching and praying to see God do, right? I'm telling you today, I think a lot of times the reason that we fail, we fall, is because we're not wrestling in prayer. And for what you are doing, what I am doing, the Lord bless us for the things we are doing, but I think the Lord is pushing us in the power of his Spirit to do more, to wrestle in prayer. Again, you see the phrase, "The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." The Spirit wants to pray. Our spirit. The Spirit wants to worship. The Spirit wants to love, but the flesh craves distraction. It craves overeating. It craves packing in as much as possible. Sometimes it craves being as lazy as possible. The flesh is weak. And when the flesh is weak, it means all the more important that we need to be waiting and watching in prayer. And so again, a simple question this morning, will you watch and pray as the Lord leads? Lord, help us all, amen. Verse 42. He, that being Jesus, went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he found them, again, he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. Verse 44, so he left them and he went away once more and he prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Can you hear me out today? How many times did Jesus pray this same thing? Three times, right? Sometimes we are one prayer Christians, right? I understand where Nana's coming from. I'm heartbroken for Alejandro and Brianna too, right? I know they've been praying more than one time. They are begging the Lord for his will, right? But sometimes we pray, Lord, do that, and then we just go on. Well, it didn't kind of work out. Like, we need to wrestle, especially over the important things. And you'll know, the Lord will let you know when it's those important things. But we need to wrestle, and we need to go more than one time. Even Paul said, remember, I prayed three times that the thorn would be taken away, but God said, no, but my grace is sufficient for you, right? Here, Jesus is praying and praying and praying. And sometimes praying is easy, right? Praying is worship and love and adoration, and even sometimes just asking. Prayer can be easy, but these today we're looking at are the prayers that are so hard. And Jesus kept going to the Father to work his way through what he was about to face. And the disciples still are exhausted, and they can't stay awake. Look at verse 45. The Bible says, then he, that being Jesus, returned to the disciples, and he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Still? Really? Do you think the Lord says that to us sometime? Are you still not waiting? Are you still not watching? Are you still not, after all that I've done? Again, from our lesson this morning, right? How many blessings the Lord have blessed the people of Israel with? Are you still not going to do this? And that's what the Lord is crying out to us and to me today. Jesus says, look, the hour has come. The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. Here comes Judas. Jesus wasn't hiding. Judas knew where Jesus would be. He's going to be praying. That's a pretty good testimony too, isn't it, right? I know where to find him. I know where he'll be. How about that for you today? Somebody's troubled in spirit. I know where to find Brother Todd. He's going to be praying. I know where to find Ray. He's going to be praying. I know where to find Ida. She's going to be praying. Because when she's hurting, I know where she's going. And that's where she's going to be. That's her testimony. How about that be our testimony as well? Amen? They know where to find Jesus. Judas have any problem with that? Because he knew where Jesus would be when the difficult days come. The disciples are awoken this third time to the truth of betrayers coming. I don't think they had any clue what was ahead. So again, hear me out this morning. Prayer and watching and waiting, they're keys to victory in our walk with God. And I don't have anything against these things, but I'm telling you, prayer is the key. We can do slogans, we can do t-shirts, we can do memes, we can even do songs, but what we need to do is to pray. Real quick, two things here to think about as we think about the inconvenience of prayer. First off, are you willing to pray in public so you might be a witness to others? Well, I don't want, they might think I'm one of those fanatical people. You know, I don't want that. I don't want to interrupt their dinner, right? What a witness to simply pray publicly before you eat. Lord, help us to do that, right? Okay. And then the second thing here, and this, I got challenged on this week. I've been trying to pray and go with Mason, and I was doing a prayer walk. This is not going to end in some fantastic story, just other than the Lord keeps teaching me what to be. I think I took Stormy out first, the little German Shepherd, and I'm walking, going into the path there at the park, and as I come to the path, this big tree had fallen down, and I got to go around this tree in the woods, but before I go, this lady comes through, and she walks around, and she smiles, like, oh, hi, how's it going? We talked just a little bit, and already right there, I'm like, do I need to be praying for her? You know, trying to get that from the Lord a little bit, you know? And we talked just a little more, and I just like, I was like, well, Lord, or I said to her, have a blessed day. You know, I try to do my Chick-fil-A slogan to get her attention, right? Have a blessed day. She smiled, went on, right? So she walks, and I walk around the trail. Me and Storm's walking around, and all of a sudden, we're coming back around. There she is again. That's kind of interesting. I'm like, well, you didn't tell me how muddy that was. That mud was really soft. You know, a little small tuck kind of thinking. And so I walk the dog back on into the house, and as the way back, I'm like, oh, man, should I pray for her? Like, should I ask her, could I pray with you? I wonder if I just missed that opportunity. And I did this, you know, the silly thing that you probably shouldn't do anyways. But I was just like, Lord, if I get one more time, if I were to see her one more time, then I'll ask her. You know, I'm not going to see her anymore. But I go get the other dog, so I get Blossom, get her on the leash, walk out, go walk the sidewalk, and guess who I see? Guess who? The Lord is teaching me. I'm not doing something for this lady. He's teaching me to be obedient. And so I walk up to this lady. I said, you're probably going to think this is strange, but is there anything you would like for me to pray for you? Right? And again, there was no magical moment. There was no salvation gospel story here. But she just kind of smiled at me and smirked a little bit. She's like, no, I'm good. And I'm like, oh, I'll be praying for you then. But what the Lord was teaching me is to do this very thing, is to be willing to stop in the moment and not just say, I'll pray for you, but to pray for you, right? To stop and to ask, do you have a need? Do you have a hurt? Do you have, and you guys, you can see the preacher failed miserably, right? It took him 3 times to get bold enough to even ask. When it's inconvenient sometimes, that's the best time to step up. Amen? All right, so pray publicly. Be willing to stop and pray and ask the Lord in those moments. Again, I'm just reiterating what Jesus said. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So the way I would word it as we wrap it up here today is, are you willing to be inconvenienced so you can pray as the Lord leads? Well, I'm going to be late to that meeting if I stop and pray with this person, right? Or they may think I'm really strange if I pray out loud. Are you willing to be inconvenienced so that you can pray as the Lord leads? I don't have a long illustration at all today. It's a very simple quote, but I think it's succinct truth, and I think it'll be something that we can all grab hold of. And so I hope that over the next few weeks, we can help each other, again, in the Spirit's power, not in our own power, right? In His mighty power, to do a better job of watching and waiting and praying. And I would challenge you to challenge me to start getting comfortable with quiet. Here's what Eugene Peterson said, and this is where I want to leave you today. One final scripture after that. Eugene Peterson said, I can be active and pray. I can work and pray, but I cannot be busy and pray. You catching the difference, right? For me, and it's been transformative for me. I know you guys need to figure out what the Lord has for you. For me, doing prayer walks in the morning has been life-changing. I need it. I can be active, walking, and praying, and the Lord speaks, and I speak to Him, and it's been amazing for me. You can be active and pray. You can work and pray, right? Working with people, doing whatever kind of work you do, you can still be active in prayer in your work. But if you're just busy, if your mind is just running through the things, it is almost impossible to pray. And that's the time that we need to step aside and find the quiet so we can watch and wait as the Lord leads. Familiar passage, I think you guys all know it, such a good one. Isaiah chapter 40, I'm going to read verses 28 through 31. I read this a lot of times as people are being placed into the ground, which is just a reminder of the Lord's strength. So let's look together. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Isaiah writes, he says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. Praise the Lord, amen. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths or the young men shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Our favorite verse here, verse 31. But they that, what? They that wait or hope upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and what? Not be weary. They shall walk and not faint, right? Put your weight, your hope, your trust in the Lord. But I'm telling you, folks, we've got to wrestle together, okay? Again, this has been a different day. We're going to do a little different here, all right? I will ask our musicians to come, but what I would like for you to do is we're going to do a time of prayer. So everybody that can come, if you just come down to this front pew here, or these front pews here, if you need to sit where you are, that's okay. But everybody that can, if you just come down here, I want us to take some time to pray.